Welcome to Definitely Maybe Agile, the podcast where Peter Madison and David Shurrock discuss the complexities of adopting new ways of working at scale. Hello, Dave. How are you today?
Really good, Peter. Good to be chatting again. And I think the intention was, if I'm just summarizing what we're about to talk about, let's see if it actually matches what we talk about. But we just had we wanted to start by looking at answering the question of how do you know you've got a decent agile team? And just look at, you know, what are the characteristics very quickly, what you might look to if you're told you're going into an organization, you're told there's an agile team over here. How do we know it's a great agile team or not a great agile team?
Well, you look to see if they have a scrum master, right? Isn't that the answer that...
Tick the boxes and look at the methodology that they may or may not be using and make sure they hit all of those. That's certainly one way of doing it, right? And I think it's misleading because there are some, I mean, we've both worked with amazing teams that didn't quite match all of the characteristics that we might expect of them. I can still remember one of the best teams I worked with was, this is years ago, but hyper distributed. Every individual was in a different time zone, and the time zone stretched from Eastern Europe to the West Coast of the US. And that team absolutely knocked things out of the park. They were a tremendous team, yet everything told us that could not possibly happen.
So what were the characteristics of that team?
You've thrown it straight back at me. Well, here's the one thing that I'm always going to look at, which is how is the team performing? And at the end of the day, the team is there to get things out of the door. So, you know, the first one is, are they predictable?
Yeah, I think actually
reliable or predictable.
But before you go down, one of the things even prior to that is, can they even tell you that? Is one of the first, like, do they measure? Do they look at their performance? Right. Do they look to see? Can they even tell you if they're performing? Because that's another one which I quite often run into, which is like, yeah, they're an agile team. It's like, cool, show me the data. Like,
yes, absolutely. So certainly there's expectations. You can't be an excellent team if you're not measuring what you're doing excellently, right? And I think predictable delivery, I refer to it as predictable capacity or predictable delivery, I think is huge because that's the ripple that goes out into the organization. If you're a team that people can rely on, you're halfway there. You know, if you say you're going to do something in a few weeks or in the month of whatever it might be, and you get that done and it's done at a high level of quality, meets expectations and so on, and then you're halfway there.
So predictable delivery, and what else?
I'm going to look for a certain, like the conversation, they care about quality and they own quality. So what I mean by that is they don't just deliver what they're asked and kind of shut up their laptops and leave, but they're continuously challenging one another on the quality of the work they're doing. Are they doing it correctly? Are they building in to what they're building the foundations for success in terms of, you know, build quality in the sort of things that we know about the technical, and you can't, it's difficult to measure. It's not as simple as just how many defects are leaving the sprint or carryover stories or anything like that. These are all distractions. It is when you talk to the team, when they're talking about planning and retrospecting, are they continuously challenging the team to do better and better and perform at a higher level with a high level of quality?
Right. And so, of course, that's again something that they have to be able to measure. How critical do you think it is that the team can own their delivery practices and production to be a functioning agile team?
Are you just laying that down so that...
Oh, totally.
Well, we, of course, both of us would agree, I am sure, that that is incredibly important. Like, if you're going to hold back a team from ever being a performing team, lock down their environments and prevent them building out tools, changing the environment, doing any sort of influence, having any influence on how they get stuff done, well, then how are they going to get better?
Right? Yeah, because you restrict their ability to learn. And so that, and actually that might actually be another characteristic of a great agile team, one that is continually looking to learn and investing in learning and ensuring that time is spent on learning as a part of their day-to-day activities. And that's a key piece as well of a really good team.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you want them to, and that you don't learn once and then carry on not learning. Learning on a team, it's a continuous thing. They're always challenging and pushing the boundaries of what they're dealing with and trying to experiment with it so that when it comes to some new change that they have to deal with, they've already practiced at how to go and accommodate it. So it's not something like a skill that you stick in the drawer and you only pull out when you need it. It's atrophying by the time you do that. It's something that's happening all the time.
Yes, yeah, and there's an interesting conversation. Very often we have these conversations. We're talking about the organization surrounding the team and all of the pieces that need to be in place for them to be successful. But if we think about the team itself, and what's on it, one of the topics of conversation we've had before, which is an interesting one, is the how static is the membership of the team. Like, how often does the membership of the team change, and what the impacts of that are on its performance? I think there's an element there where I think high performing teams have considered what the impacts are of new people coming into their team or going out of their team. They've thought about what they do and where they're looking to evolve to. Like the really good one, looking at like who do we want to be tomorrow?
Yeah, and I think there's an imp as you're describing that, you're beginning to describe a team that is in control of their own destiny. So, and what I'm thinking here is a team that is really valuable to sort your thinking out. If I'm wanting to get the team to work on a problem, they're not just going to accept it and go, yes, we'll do what you're asking, but they're going to come to the table and challenge your thinking. And again, there is I can challenge your thinking by saying, I know more than you. You should listen. Therefore, let me point out where I know more than you. That's not what I'm talking about. These are teams that roll this. They are really interested in the problem. They want to solve it, and they're listening to what you bring to the table, and they're putting what they can bring to the table, and they're seeking that the best solution. So they have there's you almost talk about elegant solutions and integrity in how the team's working when you're dealing with those teams.
Yes, so there's that you could say that sense of ownership, right?
Yeah.
And the organization has given them the autonomy to be owners, whereas we've talked in the past about the part where the team being held accountable, but they don't actually have the autonomy to own things, so they can't. So there's you end up with the friction point there.
Well, and the way when you're saying that, they expect you to own your half of whatever it is that they're solving. So there's an expectation, and they'll hold you accountable to that. And I think this actually speaks to organizational cultures, which are really dynamic and challenging places to work in, because everyone's going to hold you accountable. And if you have an off day, you walk out going, oh my goodness, I wish that had not gone the way it went. But you're looking at everybody's continually challenging or validating that. Or, the thinking has been meticulous and careful and well thought out. And it's not just I came out of a meeting and said I need to do this.
And I think that actually, when we start to touch on that cultural piece, there's that the part there around people don't throw blame when things go wrong. It's a okay, what happened? What's the work that needs to be done? What do we need to do to recover from this? And the focus is on the work, not on the individuals and the people. And so the well-functioning teams will focus in on the work. And so I mean, that is a difference in behavior that you'll see. Now, we always skip, that's a whole other conversation, because there's always this part where, well, sometimes, yes, the other things need to happen. But in a well-functioning team, the focus is on the work, not on the individuals.
And as I was thinking you were wrapping things up then, and I want to get one final thing in, which is, we sometimes forget it. I certainly know I do. I'm very task oriented at times. I just end up focused on what needs to be done, and I forget a huge indicator of great teams is how much fun they are having,
Yes.
right? And the camaraderie and the sort of just the general demeanor of the team, the mindset on the team is a well, it's a safe place to work, but it's also they're making sure they get a decent balance of, laughs and fun on there as well.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm gonna challenge you now. That was a lot
I
there,
was gonna
but
pull this one around and suggest you wrap this one
oh, I have to
up.
remember all of that. Okay, I remember the last one. Teams have just got to have fun.
Yes. And that, end of story. There we go. We can
End of
close
story. Like,
this
because I,
off.
well, to a certain extent, a lot of these other things build up to that to have fun, that you've got to have an like a team where they are focused on the work, not on the blame. If people are blaming each other for things when they go wrong, then it's not going to be a healthy team. That's they're going to be in a bad way. If they are, if you're also looking then at like the continual learning and an understanding that the team thinks of itself as a team and is looking at like, where do we go? How do we evolve? How do what happens when new people join? Who do we need to join us? Like, what does that look like? And they're actually having that conscious conversation. If they have to be able to own their delivery all the way into structure, they have to be able to actually have ownership, which requires the autonomy from the organization. So they've got to be able to operate in that way, and so that they can start to deliver. And I know I'm forgetting a couple we had right at the start, so I'm going to leave those to you.
So a couple of things that I'd add in. They know what success looks like, and they're predictable and reliable in getting there. So we talked about measuring. Ultimately, a high-performing team has to be able to deliver very, very well, right? So we need to measure that. They need to be reliable. They need to be able to get things done. There's a quality aspect, which we turned into a learning conversation. Are they growing? Are they continually challenging one another to deliver a great product, whatever they may be working on?
Yeah, I think that's a really good oversight. If you can see these things, then you know you've got a good agile team. And
Well, and now I don't have to worry about what methodology they're using, or are they doing X or they're doing Y. They're going to, if it's important, they're bringing it into their process anyway,
yeah, so let's take the word agile out, and then you know you've got a healthy team.
right? Yes, that's a great way of looking at it. So, what does a healthy team, a highly productive team, look like?
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. Well, with that, I'd like to invite all our listeners to hit subscribe and send us feedback at feedback@definitelymaybeagile.com. Always love to hear from our listeners. And if you want to be on the podcast or you want to get involved at all, then reach out and look forward to hearing from you.
Until next time. Thanks again, Peter.
Until next time. You've been listening to Definitely Maybe Agile, the podcast where your hosts, Peter Madison and David Sharrock, focus on the art and science of digital, agile, and DevOps at scale. Thank you.